Okay, here we go. Part two. We're looking at tonight just more of what we were talking about this morning. That is, how is it that things that it seems so wrong to people to do right when we try to do some things that are what Paul teaches as such. And the gist of this whole thing is to see what the scriptures say about why it is we would ever go backwards. Why would we ever quit as such and just get tired of what's going on here? And instead of having our opinion or our thoughts and observations, because we've all been there, and some are there, and some have quit, some are slowly quitting, some are getting tired and stuff like that. So we're just looking at some scripture things instead of our thoughts as such. And we see that yeah, the sound wasn't working good. I didn't have my microphone up there, I guess. Is that better? Yep. Okay. So anyway, you know, verses like Philippians 4:9 and Romans 2:16, Philippians 1:9 and 10 about growing in judgment and love and everything seems to be such a problem. We went through some excuses, some bullets from the enemy this morning. What we say when we try to excuse ourselves or justify ourselves for the backward direction we go or how we slow down or whatever. Not practical. It's just a cultural thing anyway. It's not even what God would expect. It's not comfortable. It's not convenient. I'm tired of the fight that seems to accompany everything you try to do that's right for Paul, risen Savior. Some folks are forced to. There's circumstances you can't control. Some folks still aren't even sure yet if this is what is real, I guess. And Pastor told me that I was wrong. It was one of those things. People get tired of rocking the boat. Maybe sometimes they don't need to rock the boat. But the boat will get rocked. Paul says that. Some folks miss church and the fellowship, and they'll skip even this stuff like tonight or whatever, and they'll go someplace to find some place to go, I guess. You like being involved, and it's not anything to be involved over the internet like this or whatever. You're tired of being of the few, maybe even the only one in your town or in your neighborhood or whatever. Then there's nobody else is even interested, so why should you try including your kids? And the one that it says, the last one we talked about was, I have no pleasures anymore, nothing to do. So, just things like that. The notes will be up here pretty quick. And we went through some scriptural reasons. One is, we're in latter times. How long have you been reading about Paul and the risen Savior and reading your Bible? After a while, it starts this thing that takes place when you're trying to grow and everything, it changes. You get worn down. Because that's what it says in latter times. Take heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We start paying attention to that stuff over time here. We went to Isaiah chapter 5, where it talked about good is evil. People call good evil and evil good, type of thing. Daniel chapter 12, where the Antichrist is going to be trying to neutralize us all, which is totally taking place. And at Daniel 12, 36 and 37, 38. Went to Daniel 7:25, where he'll wear down the saints. So matter of time, it seems to me that we just kind of run out of gas, I guess. So then we went into some specific things. Scriptures, latter times, we talked about that. You become a lover of darkness. Again, you start partaking with the unfruitful works of darkness, he says in Ephesians chapter 5. Instead of reproving them, you partake. And that just wears you down after a while. That's that leaveneth the whole lump. So we know that that's taking place. It does. It's just a matter of time. We become a lover of money. Whether we're forced to or whatever the choice is, we still become a lover of money. And all the things that come with being that are listed in 1 Timothy 6, 9 and 10. They went over the verses that talked about who and what we're supposed to avoid. Well, apparently we're not avoiding all that because it's wearing us down. Went over a couple of verses about those that we're supposed to withdraw from. You find a lot of us haven't withdrawn from that. And again, there's balance, there's proper withdrawing. Don't just be so cold about it. But still, if it's going to cause us problems, if it's going to stumble you or cause you to trip up or whatever, then it's best not to be around that situation. And Thessalonians, we talked about having the wrong company. And not taking heed over some things that Paul mentions. So tonight, let's do some more here. These are just things that happen to us all. We are all capable of going backwards instead of forwards. Just a matter of time, it seems like. And I know more and more people that are going backwards or giving up or whatever. We can justify it. We have the reasons. But that doesn't make it still right. It's just a fact. So is it worth the fight these days? Well, here we go. Let's go to some other one. Now, this is nothing new. I know this is nothing new for anybody here tonight. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. verse 33. It's a verse that you hear a lot of from here, where it says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Now, we won't talk about the specific what are evil communications, but it does start off with saying, be not deceived. It says, you know, don't be tricked. Don't think this is not true. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And communications isn't just TVs and videos. There's nothing wrong with the TV and the videos. What you do with it. If it causes you problems, then you shouldn't have it. Withdraw. Have no company with it, that kind of a thing. But evil communications corrupt good manners. He says, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God to speak this to your shame. And he goes on, and he talks about this evil communication. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. That's evil communication going in. Now let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, where it says, let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth. That's the other side of the story. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And he goes on there, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. So then we have corrupt communication coming in and corrupt communication coming out. And they both have their damage. And if you don't have that edifying communication coming out, then either your testimony gets spoiled, or maybe you just finally wear down yourself and it gets worse and worse and you quit putting away the anger and those things happen. It happens to all of us, and it's not right. So maybe this evil communication, we learn to follow those things, and the life around us, this evil world and perverse and crooked world that we're living in, even in the churches, even amongst the Christians, can take us down. Look at Colossians chapter 3. It's a slow process, leavening the whole lump. Leavening the whole lump takes a while. Latter times. It all fits in together here. We're all capable of crashing and not continuing here. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. But now, ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. This is all about this evil communication not coming out from us anymore. And you just keep right on reading here. 14, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So, we can lose this peace of God by not following through what these other previous verses were saying. Now notice 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Let's talk about this charity thing just for a minute here so we don't get our clients find ourselves going ecumenical and having charity for everybody and everything and just letting everything go its old merry way. Because Paul isn't that way either. We see in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, where it says, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. So you can have the wrong kind of charity out of it, not out of a pure heart. And then also look at 2 Timothy 2:22 regarding charity. 2:22, where it says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. With them. Those are the ones. The family, the brethren, that's where the charity is supposed to be. So, this evil communication thing, coming into us or even going out of us, can cause us to backslide and crash and to quit fighting and no peace from God and all that kind of stuff. It just makes a mess out of us if we're not careful. And we're around it all the time. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 for another one. What else is going on here? What else does the Scriptures warn us about here? Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. Second Timothy 4, there we go. For the time will come, now you know this verse, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now my point is this, we have developed itching ears. And those itching ears have to be fed. And before you know it, we're feeding ourselves, we're trying to find something to scratch our itching ears with things that we ought not be listening to, or things aren't quite right scripturally, or we're following into some of the hype and some of the money-making things from all the books. I was reading a book today that some pastor wrote about the balance of dispensationalism, how you balance that. And I don't see where he was coming from other than he's trying to discount the fact that Paul only means Paul only. Balanced dispensational, is it going to, you're going to do Gospels, you're going to do Paul, you're going to do tribulation books, and that's balanced. No, that's just wrong. And it's too bad that people probably bought that book more than they read the Bible about it. And their ears are itching because they've heard something about it. And now they're all mixed up because they got to go to school to learn what it is he was really trying to tell them. So we develop these itching ears. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. I guess that's where we are close by. 2 Timothy 3 verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Remember that evil communication said, be not deceived. And we see that this itching ears can be caused by somebody deceiving us, making us hungry for something that really isn't true, but they do it in such a manner that we become itching for that kind of material instead of the truth out of Paul. It's just, you've heard this before. Same thing. So, this is only corrected and found out by studying your King James Bible, rightly dividing it, looking to Paul, like we say all the time. So those are two more things. Evil communications can take us down over time, and developing itching ears, and finding those that will scratch them instead of the truth. We turn away our ears from the truth, it says in verse 4. You actually turn away, you actually won't listen. You won't even come to the service. You do something else. You go somewhere else. You'll do something. You'll read something else. You'll turn your ears away from the truth. And again, this is all justifiable. We all come up with our reasons for why we do what we do. So that's the way it is. Let's go down here to another one now. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, just over back a page there. Verse 8. Here's something else that develops in our day-to-day lives. Everything's working there, right? Seems like it is out there. 1 Timothy 1:8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Well, what's there to be ashamed of? I mean, everybody knows about Jesus dying on the cross and his Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John books. And we know that. Everybody knows that that's out there. And yet, how about talking about the risen Savior? How about who did he talk to as a risen Savior? Well, he went to Paul. He didn't go to these other guys. So, why are we ashamed of that? And it seems like more and more as time goes on, we become more and more ashamed of these things because, I suppose, because it develops a fight or a squabble. Or you haven't studied it enough, and so you try to show it to somebody, and you stumble all over yourself, and you just finally, they don't want to hear it anyway. Their hearts are blinded, their minds are blinded. So after a while, you almost become ashamed of it too. So you don't want anybody to know that you're a Paul-following Christian. You're okay with being a Christian, but you don't want people to really know that you're just a Paul-follower. Or King James only. You know, if anybody's talking about scriptures, where do you pop in, if anything? That kind of a thing. We become more and more ashamed of Paul. We become more and more ashamed of the full testimony of the Lord. We become more and more ashamed of being King James only, because hardly anybody's King James only. I mean, only. Not Greek, not Hebrew, not, concordant, just King James only. If you were to do a study on the word ashamed, I guess, are we part of these things? Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 8. Are these the things that we're ashamed of? Titus chapter 2, verse 8. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. And that he is that of the contrary part may be ashamed. It's interesting, I suppose, whatever the word would be, that when we're supposed to withdraw, I have no company with, and here we talk about having sound speech, that we say the proper thing and we're not got the bad mouth, whatever, that they're supposed to be the ones that are ashamed, not us. That's the scripture way, is to stand to do right, let them be ashamed. Why is it that we are embarrassed or we are ashamed? Do we not want to say something? They'll be glad to tell us about those things. Who did I read the other day? Tiger Woods. You know, supposed to be such a Christian kind of a guy. Well, he's a Buddhist. Read about that. So that made the national news. Everybody's probably going to join the Buddhism thing because of Tiger Woods was so good at it, get his recovery from this Buddha guy. No. Nobody's ashamed of their small g God, except it seemed like most of the King James Bible reading people anymore, because you got to go through Paul to know about him. Sound speech. In 2 Timothy 1:16, people are ashamed of Paul. In Romans 1:16, people are ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Are we ashamed of the gospel of Christ? That's the risen Savior. Romans 6:21, we're ashamed of the old ways, the way it was, what's right. In Romans chapter 10, we're ashamed of him, meaning the Lord himself. 2 Timothy 1:12, we're ashamed of Christ. That's the risen Savior there. And what Paul says, he's not to be ashamed in anything. And yet we know that Paul did Romans chapter 7. We know that Paul tripped up and had his temptations and had his flesh issues. And yet he said he was not ashamed because he knew that his testimony rang better than those other things. Anyway, so we become ashamed of those things. Look at Colossians chapter 3. We become ashamed of things. After a while, you get tired of being ashamed. You get tired of being embarrassed. You get tired of wondering if I should have said this or not. And and after a while, you just kind of quit. You're not going to talk about it anymore. Here's another one. Colossians chapter 3. Well, we claim to be risen with Christ in verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, then he says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Are you growing more and more with your affection towards things on this earth? It says, you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. So we know that's going to take place. Then he has the following, the whole chapter is the next one chapter. Mortify, therefore, your members. What you're doing down here. And Paul still would have us walk the proper walk, even though we know we can't and we're going to frustrate ourselves, but we can do those things. We just justify backing off because we don't want to set our affection on things on this earth, above. Because I tell you, the high-tech things on this earth, it's expensive, so you got to get a job to have these things. Then you're setting your affection on things on this earth, on the earth. It's hard not to do that because, you need to provide for your family. You want to prepare your kids for their future years, and they have to learn these things, apparently. Again, we start to justify why it is that we go the way we go. A matter of time, leaven will leaven the whole lump, and you will not be any longer trying to set your affection on things above. What's above? The judgment seat of Christ is what's next. That's what Paul is all about. Helping us have the real Savior, the risen Savior, and then having the right foundation, then we're to build on that. And that's setting your affection on things above. But we don't do that. We kind of get out of that whole thing after a while. Oh well, we have our reasons. Let's go to Colossians. Let's go down here to Colossians chapter 2. Let's go to verse 6. Here's another thing. Education. I'm not against education, it's just that so much education is wrong. You've got to be educated to get a job, you've got to be educated, you've got to have some brains, you've got to have some activity going on in your brain up there. Sure, we're not denying that. To say that you need a biblical Bible Institute education, you don't need that, you've got a Bible. Do you need to have a formal education? Well, you certainly need to know how to read and all the basic things. Sure you do. And there's other things you can learn can be very interesting. Very interesting to things. But Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Okay, that's what we're told to do. Colon, rooted and built up in him, and stabilized in the faith, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. That's what we've been taught. So during this time, we have a warning here. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men. That could be education, religion, science, all those things. After the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. That's not setting your affection on things above. That's being taught things that are wrong. That's being taught things that will cause you eventually to throw out your King James Bible. It can't possibly be all 100% correct, not from what I've read in all these stories, all these books that people have given to me to read. The things that the professors are teaching is not true. Evolution and all the whole list of things is a mile long. After a while, you fizzle with that thing. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. It wears us down. Education wears us down. Not just because you're being tired, right, Sam? A lot of hard things to learn there. But we see in verse 17, I go this all the time, that Paul warns not for us not to walk like other Gentiles. That would be lost people, because the Christians are Church of God. So somebody who was saved is going to walk like a Gentile. It says right there in verse 17, the vanity of their mind. So they need to have their self educated. And when they got their self educated, they got papers on the wall that says they're smart. And they become very conceited and very, very, well, the professor quality there, right, Sam? You couldn't tell them anything. Having the understanding darkened. This is what happens. We can get to this point. Alienated from the life of God. Well, is that because God leaves us? No, because we leave Him. We set aside our day away from Him. Through the ignorance that is in them. Why ignorance? Why are we not learning these things? Because of the blindness of their heart. So our heart gets blinded. We don't even recognize that this is happening. It's not that our mind is blinded. Our heart is blinded. It's like we don't care. It's not in our heart anymore to do these things right. It says right here in 19, who being past feeling, this is what can happen to us. And have given themselves over to lasciviousness, that's ultimate flesh activity, to work all uncleanness with greediness. That's so America. That's even so Christians. But he says in verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. Christ didn't teach us these things. Christ is teaching what he teaches us is through Paul, King James Bible. So, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Yes, we've been taught by him. King James Bible, following Paul, rightly divided, the whole Bible, Genesis to Revelation. Christ himself has taught us how to read that thing and make it make sense. So, education can blind our hearts. Devil, 2 Corinthians 4:4, will blind our minds, keep us from being saved. But this world and the devil himself, I'm sure he's excited he's the god of this world, can blind our hearts to where we just don't care anymore. It can happen very easily. Let's go here to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I think that's what I want. 2 Corinthians, I'll just find out here. I can't read my notes very well. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I got the right chapter here, but I'll find it anyway. Oh, yeah, here we go. Verse 13. Here's something else that happened. I think this is a big one. We'll kind of park on this for a few minutes here. This is a big one. We have our own Bible, okay? And we have radio programs, and we have websites. We have so many Christian rooms, even Paul rooms, supposedly, on Pal Talk out there. The few I've turned to are wrong in their grace application. All they care about is grace. When the church was born, we've been over that stuff, the hyper crowd, which I still to this day say we're not a hyper crowd. But what we do is we find ourselves listening to the wrong people. And the more we listen to the wrong people, the more it's going to cause us to trip and stumble and go backwards. I don't know, you can justify. Well, there's nobody else to listen to, okay? I can't do this by myself, okay? I've got nowhere to go. Maybe I can go here. Well, while you're looking for these places, you're being fed lies amongst the truth. The devil doesn't just... You're not going to go to some Satan-worshipping church, I would imagine, or one of those groves at night. You're not going to do that. But you're still willing to let that truth be mixed with lies. And so, verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Do we know enough to whether somebody's the truth or not? We have to remember that these guys are ministers of righteousness in verse 15. Verse 14 says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So what's the problem? This can happen all the time. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. So we find ourselves listening to these. Look at Romans chapter 16. We find ourselves listening to people who actually drag us down. If they're not edifying the truth, they're throwing some kind of ecumenical stuff at you or some worthless argument, some worthless study, or just trying to build a church up or trying to make something happen. You know what you do? You become have favor with all the people in the community kind of a thing. Acts chapter 2. Romans 16 here. And you find yourself being fed that stuff. You know, after a while, you may never agree with it, but after a while, you're no longer trying to stand up for what you know to be true. Because what are your options? You have no options. Well, yes, we do have options. But I'm recognizing that few people really want to step up to that option, the few options that are left. We're not used to that. So he's here in Romans chapter 16, verse 18. For they that are such, verse 17, serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Are you able to say something about somebody who actually has good words and fair speeches? I mean, they talk well. Do you know when he's wrong? Because if you don't know when he's wrong, and you can find yourself listening to him, yeah, but what he says right is really good. I know he says things wrong. I know he doesn't teach people about Paul. I know he doesn't rightly divide. Then what are you doing listening to him? Because verse 17 tells you to avoid that. It's just to avoid them. Good words and fair speeches. Why? Because we could be easily deceived. If you listen to a guy with the open King James Bible and you find out that he's wrong here, then you know that. That's good. But what if somebody else sees you doing that? Listening to this particular person. You can cause that person to stumble. Well, there's all sorts of ways to look at that thing. So, we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5. And I have to tell you, I'm basing what I'm saying here today and tonight on my observations and my emails in the last couple of years and just things that are happening. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5. There we go. For neither any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Okay, then apparently somebody's using flattering words. So Paul didn't have to flatter people to get them to want to come and get them finally to listen. You know how you hand people this and you give them that, and you try to be nice, you try to flatter them to want to come to your church. You want to flatter them to listen to this. Or you want to flatter them to come and listen to this website. You want to flatter them. You've got to get them to somehow soften up, and you do all that kind of stuff, and it still doesn't work. Well, Paul didn't use flattering words. There it is, plain and simple. You saw it when you start to rightly divide. You saw that Paul wasn't a flatterer, but you knew it was true. So we jump into this thing knowing that it's true, and let's see where it takes us. And look at where it has taken us. More and more people are quitting. They don't want the truth as such. And the truth is not just a do and a don't list. It's grace, it's mercy, it's tears, it's suffering, it's persecution, it's reproving, it's rebuking. It's all those things. It's the manner of life that Paul calls it. Okay? If we go to Jude 16, and I always like to do this more and more because as I believe we're getting closer and closer to the rapture and the tribulation, we're going to see more and more things that are tribulational start to show up here as we kind of blend into the tribulation before we're zapped out of here or just a few that are left or whatever, because he says in verse 16, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts. And their mouth speaketh great swelling words. Oh, they're good talkers, all right. Having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. They have an advantage over these people because they're in awe over them. So this guy can go speak great swelling words because he's got an advantage. He's got those people admiring him. And I remember back in years and years ago that somebody liked their pastor so well, admired him so well, that they started dressing like him. Everybody had to have cowboy boots, for example. And then another church, everybody had to have certain kind of shoes. I mean, everybody wants to, they admire their pastor. I know so many people that will not get into their King James Bible themselves because they'll trust their pastor because they are so admiring of him and his education, his love and care for you, and the list goes down. And to show them that he's not teaching the truth. Well, but he's the pastor here. And you know, touch not the anointed, it says. Yeah, it says that in the Old Testament. So we're getting closer and closer to people who are basing their attendance in their church whether they admire their pastor or not. If they don't like the pastor, that pastor's not going to be able to tell them anything because they don't care what he says. It's from him. I don't believe it. That's how we get. Or, I don't care what the Bible says. My pastor taught me that such and such is what it says, and they'll follow the pastor. They'll dress like the pastor. They'll act like the pastor. They'll get haircuts like the pastor. They'll wear shirts like the pastor. They'll probably even get a car like he's... I mean, it's just an amazing thing to watch. So we find ourselves listening to the wrong people. And after a while, you just get away from King James only. After a while, you get away from a good control of your music. After a while, you start getting away from how you were dressing. After a while, your volume of your voice gets back up again. After a while, you find yourself going places that you weren't going to a couple years ago. After a while, you find yourself not talking about your testimony anymore. After a while, you find out that you've really left the ship, and you didn't even know what's happening. Somebody comes along and tries to say something to you about it from a King James rightly divided Bible, you get mad at the guy, or the person, or the friend. It's an amazing thing to see taking place. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. And he says, in latter times, depart from the faith. You've been seduced. Seducing spirits. You're looking at wrong doctrine now. Doctrine of devils. Now look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. We see a good little verse here. Chapter 1 verse Verse 6. From which those of faith, those of a pure heart, that type of thing. Verse 6, from which some have swerved, have turned aside unto vain and jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say or whereof they affirm. So, you know, eventually you can end up preaching the Great Commission. I consider that the law as such, because that's what that was in the Gospels. And the Tribulation book, that'll be law. But the people are turning aside. Our people are turning aside into vain jangling. Vain jangling, profane and vain. How would I say that? Look at 2 Timothy 2:15. There it is. Shun profane and vain babblings. There it is. And now, just put those. Let's make those two verses very simple. Third one, plus also, but where he says that 1 Timothy 6:20, to avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science. You'll err concerning the faith. What we see here, you know, if you're listening to somebody who's not preaching King James rightly divided, you're listening to vain jangling, vain babblings, profane babblings. That's what you're listening to. And if you keep that up, it's going to tear you down. I got nothing else to listen to. Well, that's not true. You have to make an effort to find this website. You have to make an effort to come here, to be here on a Sunday night. You have to turn down something else. You've got to make plans. You've got to make an effort, too, as well. It can't all just be laid on the plate for you. If you're not careful, these people will steer you wrong. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. This is Paul in the... verse 7, notwithstanding the Lord, he was with Alexander the coppersmith, and everybody forsook him, left him alone. He says in verse 17, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that the Gentiles might hear. That's the job of Paul, is for the Gentiles to hear, that by me, that's Paul. A preacher is supposed to be preaching Paul. And I don't buy for a second, used in the Old Testament, and then pop in a little Paul verse. That's confusing people. I don't buy for a second going to 1st and 2nd Peter, going to James, preach all that scary stuff about God, what He's going to do to people, then pop in a few Paul verses to say that you're following Paul. There's an awful lot of Baptist preachers that say, well, we follow Paul. No, you don't. You'll use Paul, you'll use Peter, you'll use the Baptist teachings, you'll use Jesus' teachings in the Gospel, you use the teachings in Revelation. You go all through the book. You'll go back in the Old Testament and put that on somebody. It's there for us, but it's not there to be put on us. And these guys are dragging down their people. The church may be getting bigger, maybe more fun, maybe more pleasures, maybe you finally got some fellowship. Who knows who or what you can find in a church like that? But will it be right? No. It just won't be right. That's Paul. So one of the biggest reasons I think that we go back the way we do is because we're just not listening to the right people still. And you've got a Bible. If you're going to listen to a people, then get your Bible open and follow and make sure it's right. If it's not right, then depending on what it is in the situation, then deal with it. Look at 2 Timothy 4:2. We've been there a few minutes ago. 2 Timothy 4:2. This is what a preacher is supposed to be doing, preaching the Word. Not his words about the Word, but the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke. Exhort with all long suffering. Sure, he doesn't have to be a mouth, a loud, yelling, screaming man who's angered everybody. It's just with long suffering and doctrine, that's Paul's doctrine, reprove and rebuke and exhort. That's what they're supposed to do. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Where have you learned what you learned? Okay, continue in that. Is that from this website? Then stay with this website until I'm wrong on something as far as the preaching part of it goes. We heard from Paul, rightly divided. I'm Paul only. We've even taken a two-year course on how to look at the whole Bible for us. We don't throw that stuff out, but we don't apply it to us. It's something there for us to learn. To sing, we can be admonished through song, but a lot of the songs we sing have some false things in there too. Look at Titus 2:15. This is what a preacher is supposed to be doing. Preaching the word in season, out of season. Preaching Paul. Titus 2:15. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. What's that? Read chapter 2. Aged men, aged women, young men, servants. They're sound doctrine. That's what's supposed to be preached. Is your pastor preaching that? Do you know pastors that are preaching that to somebody? I pretty much bet they're not doing that anymore. Because they go down after a while. You can't preach what needs to be preached today and have a church. It's getting that way. Maybe this is just my observations over the time, but you couldn't change the path of a church without causing problems, and you can't start one because nobody's interested. So you just do what you do in where you're at, and see what comes out of that thing. In the meantime, you've got truth, and you should be a proper testimony, and don't let these things take you down. What things? Well, let's do a quick review here. How are we doing? We're doing all right. Even communication will take us down if you follow that stuff. You can develop itching ears for things that aren't true. You'll grow ashamed of Paul, King James Bible. You'll quit setting your affection on things above. You start setting your affection on the things on this earth again. That's more concern for you than anything about judgment seat of Christ that will last eternally. Education can destroy us. Not avoiding who and what we're supposed to avoid. Not withdrawing from. Not having wrong company. Not taking heed of. You become a lover of darkness. Unfruitful works of darkness are more fun now to you than they were a year ago. It was easy to say no to something a year or two or three years ago, but now it's getting harder because latter times. Some shall depart from the faith. Seducing spirits. You can become a lover of money. That's America's God. Maybe it's becoming your God again. We need to have it, but if you do anything, if you'll drop Paul, you'll drop what's right to make that money, then we got problems there. Then look at listening to the wrong people. I'll just do a couple more here. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Another one. Here's another thing that's taking people down. I'm going to direct this one to ladies, but also to husbands, because you're accountable for these sorts of things. I'll just say simply enough here that ladies, you're hanging around the wrong crowd. And that's 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verse 13, they cast off their first faith with all they learned to be idle, so they had to learn this, wandering about from house to house, or computer to computer, Facebook to Facebook, email to email, chat to chat, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. How can somebody who gets a hold of this stuff eventually turn away? What it says is you're turning aside after Satan. Well, what do you mean? Well, go to verse 14. You don't get into those things. Satan's managed to get you out of there. Go to Daniel chapter 12, verse 37. Do you see why? He's destroying womanhood. He's destroying femininity. He's destroying what's right for the lady. He's destroying what's right for the men. We're all being combined into one big barrel. And I see it at the school, the little kids, just immensely. We're just one, and it's not supposed to be that way at all. We look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, and there's those classic verses, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Suffer not a woman to teach. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Modest apparel. There it is. You get away from that if you hang around the wrong crowd after a while. Pretty soon you're going to want to dress like they do because you're the only one in that crowd that dresses shamefacedly modest. You get tired of that after a while. I've heard people say it looks frumpy. They're embarrassed when they go into a store. And it's hard. I'm not denying that. But if you can hang in there with the right stuff, then it'll be rewarded at the judgment seat. How many are willing to set their affection on things above in this department for ladies? It's tough. I'm sure it is. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It probably has something to do with being ashamed, I suppose. I'm ashamed of what Paul teaches. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. We have the epistle today. So we're supposed to be comforted and established in every good word and work, he says there. So, yeah, ladies, men, the same thing. We need to stand fast with what we've been taught according to this Bible. Here's another one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 8. Here's why a lot of people, I think, go backwards. They're mad at God. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God. Look at verse 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Look at verse 10. Oh no, verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for yourselves are taught of God to love one another. So what do we have here? We have verse 8, he therefore that despiseth not man, but God. God's the one who gave us his Holy Spirit. The pastor didn't. The husband didn't. The wife didn't. God did. And the Holy Spirit is showing us things in our lives that we should change if possible, if we were willing. It's a reasonable service, he says. And you read your Bible, you realize you should dress this way or not talk this way or not go there, not do this or whatever. Change your manner of life, then God's the one that wrote this book. God's the one that talked to Paul. God's the one that preserved it from the first time he had it printed all the way through this day, generation to generation. It's God that's behind all this stuff. So some people just get mad and they quit. They don't like wearing this. They don't like not going here. The fruitful works of darkness, it's coming back to them. Somehow we're being beguiled. Somehow we're being cheated. We're being tricked. We're being the wrong people are teaching us, the wrong places. We're going to the wrong things. After a while, when we realize we want to do that, and some preacher or a friend of yours, somebody who cares about you, says something, you get mad. You know why you're mad? You're mad at God. According to Paul, because God's the one who wrote all this stuff. So, you can go ahead and get mad at one of your friends or your kids or your parents or whatever. Stand what's right. God's the one who wrote all this stuff. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's do another one here. These are just scriptural things to show you that if you ever ask your question, I wonder if I'm softening. I wonder if I'm going down the tube little by little by little. I wonder if there's any leavening of my lump going on here. Well, the King James Bible will be glad to tell you if you read into that thing, because God will show you in the scriptures. We're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. From what I read in this thing, this is not supposed to be as complicated as you make it out to be. I can't answer all the questions yet. The Bible, I believe all the answers are in that Bible, because I believe that is which is perfect. We may not understand. You've got to read this thing. You've got to study this thing. It takes years. But it's not complicated. It's the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, and that's what they're doing. A complicated Jesus. Or whatever. It's got to match up with Paul. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 4. Colossians 2, 4. We can be beguiled. We can be tricked. Shouldn't be. We've got a King James Bible. But we can be tricked. That's why I get so worried about people that get other books and other authors and other churches, other pastors. You need to stay where you're being fed. If you're not being fed, you don't need to be there. Go to where you're being fed the truth. Colossians chapter 2, verse 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. We can be enticed, seducing spirits. Turn from the faith. I mean, we can depart from the faith. We can be enticed away. We can be seduced away. And he goes through that again, through that education there. Well, I guess we can keep going because I don't want to, I mean, who knows what's kind of a point. Romans 13. These are just quick ones here. Romans 13. Here's something else that we can do that will cause us to go backwards. Allow us to be enticed, seduced. Romans chapter 13, verse 14. And there's a good context in there, but we won't do that tonight. Put on the armor of light, cast off the works of darkness. I see a lot of Christians going back to the works of darkness, I guess. That sounds very judgmental, but I can't help it. That's the way we're dressing, and that's the way we're talking, and that's the things we're doing. I don't see these people are hanging around turning to Paul. They're just happier themselves. So we see in verse 14, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. In other words, don't go do something that's going to cause your flesh to be provided for. Provision for the flesh. If you buy this, or get this, or go there, or do this, you're going to make provision for the flesh. And that's one of the things that we have. All things are lawful, but not to be used for an occasion for the flesh. So if you're not going to use it for the flesh, do your best. We don't have the Spirit of God upon our flesh. We've been separated from our flesh. Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 8. And yet we're going to make provision for the flesh, so we're going to stumble. That's okay. It's not going to be imputed. Well, it's still going to cause problems. It can still cause you to finally give up. Go backwards. Quit. I know too many people that have just their environment is just terrible. I realize that. And this is easy to preach more than it is to do. But these are your goals. This is what you want to have. This is what you're building upon that foundation. Otherwise, it'll just burn. What a waste. So make not provision for the flesh. If it's going to cause you problems, don't buy it. Don't go there. Don't walk into that section. All sorts of things. We know that we all do that. Make provision for the flesh. Last thing I should do is walk into a chocolate store. It makes provision for my flesh. So can you control that? It's become a power over you. That's the point. You've got one of those things in your room or in your house, turn it on, okay, fine. But if you're going to turn it on and leave it on all day, you're going to follow some junky stuff to follow, to watch, you're going to waste time and you could be doing something else, you're making provision for the flesh. So it's best not to put it in there, unless you can control it. Or does it cause somebody else to stumble? There goes your whole thing there. All sorts of things. It's supposed to be very simple. Well, it is simple. We just make it difficult. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 2. For another reason we crumble. Why 2 Peter chapter 2? Well, I'll show you. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 17. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh. Through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the service of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse to them than the beginning. Now, a lot of that makes sense to what we're doing today. We're having people speak great swelling words. We are being allured through the lusts of the flesh. Music in the church is luring, the pastor is trying to use music to lure people into their church. That is totally wrong. Through much wantonness, they were clean, escape from them who live in error. You got out of your mess in your life. You're away from that now. Yet you became under their corruption. So this is a tribulation verse, no doubt. Because you're not going to end up worse than you were. You might end up better than you were if you drop Paul. Drop that King James Bible. You'll have more friends. You'll have more things to do. You can go to more places. You can probably make more money. You can probably make some money to live the life you want to live. And it's going to seem better. You can't go to hell because you went that way. But you lose your reward in the judgment seat of Christ. So yeah, you get entangled with this stuff and overcome. We can do that. But that isn't what he's talking. He's not talking to us. He's talking to those in the tribulation that if they were to do that, they'll lose their salvation and they'll be a lot worse off than the beginning. So is that manipulating a Peter verse to try to scare people? Yes, it would be. But we have more and more people speaking swelling words of vanity. We have more flesh in the church trying to lure people into that church. We have people that have left their dirty lives and they're dressing differently and they're talking differently. We have people that have had successes in their life. We have people that have gone backwards. But my point is this, that we can go backwards if we start looking to Hebrews to Jude as to us. Those are tribulation verses, tribulation books. So don't fall into that trap. We quickly go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We can finish this thing up tonight, folks, so this is good. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We see a man named Demas. And look at who Demas has forsaken. He forsook Paul. And he loved this present world. And we see in verse 11, only Luke is with me. It says, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. So see, if we go backwards and we get away from this Paul stuff, or we change how we look, or we go to workplaces we shouldn't be working, or what, buy, you know, all those things we talked about today and tonight, then you're actually forsaking Paul. And I know people are going to say, well, then, is Paul your Savior? No, but Paul is my apostle to teach me the things I need to know about the risen Savior. So you forsake Paul, you're forsaking his teachings, you're forsaking the risen Savior. Obviously, that's the final conclusion. But he does say, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. And we can do that. We can forsake Paul's teachings, we can forsake a King James Bible, we can forsake a true church for a false church, we can forsake a pastor trying to preach the truth to go to a pastor who's manipulating the truth, manipulating people for a better church, whatever. That can cause us to go backwards, to become a Demas, and not really have any profit for Paul's preaching, for Paul's messages, for the King James Bible. Is that what you want? You want to not have anything to do with the preaching of the truth? Does your physical appearance, your testimony, do you want to have that not show off Paul? Well, let's see, you're ashamed of Paul and the risen Savior. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. Paul says we're going to suffer persecution. Paul says it's going to be hard to be alone. He says those things. And I'm just, you know, we're all guilty. We're all fearful of those things. Then lastly, let's look at this thing here. This is the last one. It fits in quite well. We're tired of the fight. You get tired of the fight, or you find out you're fighting the wrong fight. I look back at my years, and I see that I fought a lot of battles that I didn't need to fight. I was fighting the wrong battles. Didn't know at the time. There's my justification. But now that we have a King James Bible rightly divided, there's no excuse for that sort of a thing. But to get tired of the fight. We've got a couple quick verses, then we'll be done. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It's so easy to wear down from a fight. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26. You just get tired of fighting it. You just do. The stress, the atmosphere is so cold. It's hard. Verse 26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. You know what's right. Know what the battle should be. But I keep under my body and bring it under subjection. There's our biggest battle right there. Lest by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. That's a tough verse right there. For somebody who wants to be a witness to somebody else, you need to bring your body into subjection. That's pretty hard. There's sin still within our flesh. That's our body. Again, in the tribulation, they'll have the Spirit of God upon their flesh. They can do right if they just turn to the Lord. But we have a fleshly, sinful, rotten, vile body that we still have to bring it under subjection. That's pretty tough. Shouldn't be, but it is. And as a result, people won't listen to us. And been there, done that. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's look what Paul says about this fight. Just for a couple minutes, we'll be done here on time. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Paul calls it a good fight. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Calls it the good fight of faith. He's professed a good profession before many witnesses. That's how I hope I will finally attain someday. It's a good fight. It's a fight of faith. Look at 2 Timothy 4:7, just over a page probably. 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. He says it again. We see in Mark chapter 6 that Jesus tells the disciples the same thing that Paul tells us, Mark chapter 6. But it's no better said than in the Gospels here, so we can learn from that. Mark chapter 6, verse 4. The prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief. That's what's going to happen amongst your family, amongst your friends, amongst your workers. They're going to know you, and you're going to have no honor from them, even if you say the right thing or do the right thing, and they still won't believe. And we marvel. Now go to Acts 23:9 and we'll be done here. Acts 23:9. Now 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Then we'll go to Acts. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 8. Again, there it is. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. So we could easily get into the wrong fight with the people that are trying to help you stand strong, stand firm, when really you're trying to fight God. And God isn't one for us to fight. All that he has done for us through the risen Savior, through Paul, through a King James Bible, see a few preachers who do care and want to tell you the truth at all costs, or most costs anyway. Acts 23:9, you can find yourselves just fighting the wrong battle. Fighting the people around you because you want to do right. You have no control. You have control. There's things we can do to have that freedom, but they're pretty hard. Some of them are even non-scriptural in that realm. Acts 23, verse 9, and we'll be done. And there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, saying, we find no evil in this man. But if a spirit or an angel has spoken of him, let us not fight against God. There were some that knew that if they fought against Paul, they were fighting against God. So as you fight against Paul and fight against, you want to go backwards, you want to start dressing and looking like the world, and you want to feel part of some friends and family, and you want to do this, and you want to go that, and you're slowly going backwards, and your music is slowly changing, and your stand on the truth is softening because you have nobody to preach to you, maybe, or the environment you're around is dropping you down, and you read your Bible, if you still read your Bible. If you don't read your Bible and turn to the preaching, you're already giving up. But you fight that stuff. You fight to do what's right, or you're going to be fighting against God. Because this guy right there said, listen, if we fight against Paul, we're fighting against God. Because God did show Paul this stuff. The risen Savior did talk to Paul. Galatians 1, 2 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 3. He did talk to Paul. So disagreeing with Paul is disagreeing with God. Not me, not anybody else, not your dad, not your husband, not your wife, not your boss, not your pastor. Read your Bible. We have one. And if you don't want to do these things, and you're slowly withering backwards, you're walking away from God. You're angry with God. So don't let that happen. Stand strong. Get that Bible opened up. We'll leave it at that. The notes will be online in about an hour or two. So it's happening. It says in 2 Thessalonians that there will be a falling away. Let's just not be part of that falling away ourselves. I forget the camera's over here for those that are out there. And stand strong. All you guys, all you folks on the list, Adriana, the young people, stand strong. It's not easy. But remember, we're supposed to build on the foundation. Build it up, and it'll last to the judgment seat of Christ. Set your affection on things above, not on things on this earth. And stay in the fight. Good night.